Om. Namaste. Welcome everyone to Satsang today here at Mantasaja, and welcome also those who are joining us via broadcasting today. Big welcome for everyone. I'm seeing quite a number of new faces, so I hope you have a little idea of what happens here or what is likely to happen, or maybe not. But welcome, and maybe you want to come and say? You want to come? Okay. Good to see you again. Okay.
I'm back home.
Yes.
And you are here.
Yes.
Yeah. All this season, from Rishikesh to Valdivinia, I was attended to online in Valdivinia to Zima. Just a deepening. And,
just a?
Deepening.
Deepening, okay.
In my home. Yeah.
Does everybody understand what he means when he says, back home?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have this beautiful fruit for you. It needed the invitation, the inquiry. Constantly.
Yeah. Does everybody understand what he means by the invitation?
Sorry.
No, I am checking. And, We spoke about this because I mentioned to Sri, I think she spoke with you maybe a bit before satsang started today. You did? Sumantra made. And just that, the exploration or work that takes place here at Mantasaja has become over the years quite specific and because people are coming from all over the world to come to this part of Portugal, and primarily they say they're in search for awakening, which means, for me, to come to a clear understanding, experientially, not just mentally, of who we are. Not who we'd like to be, but who we are naturally. And it is regarded here, and certainly from my own point of view, as the most important discovery a human being can make. I know it sounds very big words to say that, but we have plenty to back it up. That the discovery of one's true nature, beyond the ego conditioning, that it is possible to awaken to it, not just as a passing experience, but as a profound recognition and insight, and that those who have experienced that feel drawn to go more deeply and more deeply into it. And so Mantasahaja is really in service to those who feel drawn to explore more deeply into their true nature. So sometimes people do come here, have no idea at all about, I don't know what you may have heard about this place, but from now we are asking everyone who wishes to come for the first time that you visit the website and look for the invitation and see what it is. It is very simple, but it will give you a background so that when you come here you don't feel lost. Otherwise, it is quite unfair, I think, for those who have been looking and deepening in their search to keep on starting from scratch every time somebody new comes. I'm sure you will agree with this, no? So we're asking from now that people who come to Montesaja, that you have looked a little bit into what is discussed here, what is discovered here, what is searched for, and when you come you have at least some basic understanding of what it is that we are doing here. Why so many people coming to this tiny place? Because of the results that they find, not just what they are searching for, but that what they are finding, what they are discovering. And so they perhaps pass on the word and more people are coming. Some merely out of curiosity, some because they feel, yes, I've been wanting to come for a long time and now I have the chance. So as from today, I'm myself saying to you now that in order to qualify to come here, you must at least have some fundamental or some basic understanding of the subject discussed here, and that you come with a wish to go more deeply into it. Do you think it's fair or not?
Yes.
Thank you. So, okay.
One of the images that helped me very much, it's when you say, if you are, there was just a quintessential teaching, it would be stay as the easiness.
Yes.
If you were in the station with a train.
Yeah. Yes.
Became my mantra, and it's just so, so powerful.
Yes. This is just in case, because sometimes we don't, you may find yourself in some phase, some situation in your life where you feel very confused or distraught or something like that, and worried and lost or something, then what kind of teaching will be in service to you? It has to be some kind of emergency pill or something, that you're not going to sit down and then maybe start to sit and meditate when your mind is in a state of chaos. So then I refer back to this, I'm using the term isness, because I'm pleased with this term at the moment, because it is quite neutral term. But what it implies is something altogether beyond concepts. It is our natural state. And today, because many people are here, perhaps for the first time, we may go through that again, because it is not so long to take you through the steps of awakening. And I'm very happy for this, because for many years I was also searching for a way in which this could be conveyed to many people from different backgrounds, different religions, people of no religion also, even atheists, I don't mind, if they were open enough that they could discover something that was there before they developed their own particular temperaments and mindsets, something that was so fundamentally true and consistent in the human family that we could all understand it. So by the grace of the Self, this invitation has come, and we would like to share it with you. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Okay. So we are good.
Just great.
Okay.
I'm so grateful.
Thank you. Of course, many people come, and each one comes with their own sense of what they have a problem in some area, and over the years we have tried to address each thing as it is presented. And very often if someone comes with a particular kind of doubt or a problem, if it doesn't fit with other people's idea or what they've experienced, they often don't give you much attention to the conversations that happen if it's not dealing with your particular subject. So with the invitation, it concerns everybody. Concerns everyone. And when I say everyone, I simply mean everyone who have come, because there are people who have no interest in this, and that is perfectly fine. I have no fault with that at all. But those who feel drawn, each one of you have come here for some reason. So I don't know what that reason is. It might vary also. But if I can put it that we all know and have experienced that we have some power within us that aspires for happiness and life and creativity and love and openness. There's a force that is moving in us towards that light. And there's a contrary force, it seems, that moves mostly to keep you attached to your person, your personal life, and to your form and to the daily existence. And your whole life can be directed to feeding that very narrow perspective of life. Just day to day, you know what to eat, where to go, what you want to do today, and so on. I say that life is infinitely greater than that representation, and that there is something within us that deeply is worth discovering. And when we discover it, when we at least begin to discover it, we find that we're experiencing great peace and joy or happiness, also becoming more wise, more open, less afraid of death and life, because there are people afraid of life also. And so your entire being begins to move in a much lighter way. So I assume that that is a natural desire for every living being, not just human being also. Every living being wishes to be happy and largely to be safe, whatever that may mean for you, and to be expanding in consciousness or growing more and more towards whatever it is that you perceive to be your goal. So I don't know if it's a little bit premature to be introducing the invitation so early to some of you. And for those who are already familiar with it, it will not hurt to hear it again. So let's assume that you've come here and you have this general question. I'm making up a question. It maybe represents something in you. Suppose you came and you say, you know, that I would like to ask for some help because I'm not able to control my mind. I don't feel I'm living life to the full. My life being lived based upon my conditioning as a person, I don't think it is working so well. I would like to receive some guidance or some help that would allow me to be much more open in life, less afraid. I would like, in fact, to be free. I've heard of the term enlightenment or awakening or different terms for it, self-realization or something. Is it true? Is it really possible that a human being can really wake up out of the state of ignorance and into a state of real joy? are beings like, that we've heard beings like the Buddha or the Lord Christ or of Krishna and Lord Shiva, Rama, beings like this, Ananda Mahima and so on, who are said to have been awake, meaning that they were the highest expression of the human potential to wake up to the truth of what they are. Is it true? And I said, oh yes, it is true. Is it possible for me? Well, I would say that whatever they've woken up to is already alive and true in you. But whether you are going to come to that recognition, it's not up to me to say, yes, it's going to happen for you. But I would like to tell you that it is totally available, and perhaps you will not get it the first time you hear it, but some do, and maybe you may be amongst them. You said, yes, I would like to explore this. I really am open, I feel I'm ready. I ask you, do you have some things waiting that you feel you cannot give your entire attention to this? Because if you are going to listen to me for 10 minutes of guidance or so, you know, I don't want that you are holding, saving something in your mind that when we finish talking you're going to go back to that and then you will just ignore what I have said. So if you feel that you are open enough and you're available today to come to that recognition, can I assume that that is the case with you?
Yes.
Okay. So I said now, in response to the question, is it possible I'm here for this, please help me? I say, okay, I'm going to invite you in to the space that I am, this space, which is not different from your space, but I'm going to invite you here. But before you can come in, you must leave your shoes outside, as you have done today to come into this room. Please leave your shoes outside. And then I follow up by saying now, please leave your mind outside. And people say, whoa, shoes I can leave, but to leave my mind, that's the problem. I can't leave my mind. And I said, well, don't worry, it's not so difficult what I'm asking. I'll explain what I'm really asking. When I say leave your mind outside, I simply mean, while you're here with me for the short time that we will speak, please don't speak about the past. Are you willing to just not mention about the past or don't cling to the past just for the short time that we are speaking? And also about future, because very many people, they speak about the future. Yes, you know, in another year I'd like to go and live in this place. I want to spend some time in a monastery. I would like to be this type of person. I'd like to be more kind. I said, we don't talk about that. We won't talk about this. Not today, not now. Okay? Can we not talk about the future also?
Yes.
Okay. That includes you guys at the back as well. Okay, they're waving, hello. So, please, let's not talk about the past, but your memories or attachments or desires, just leave it for the moment. If they are important later on, maybe we can talk about it. But for the duration of this short time that we are going to spend now, please don't hold on to any of these ideas. And you have said, yes, okay, I want to engage with them. And even the present, meaning the present moment of now, also whatever thoughts are coming in your mind, we're not going to talk about them right now. Just be entirely empty. Is it possible?
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't engage with any kind of thought process and so on. And I feel everyone can do this. Now, sometimes we know that the mind itself, the kind of psychological, egoic mind, somehow will start to behave like it doesn't want you to listen to this. It doesn't want you to be really present here. And it might start to make a lot of noise or distractions start to come in. People start to look at the flags on the ceiling and stuff. And then when they see that many people have gone through into the understanding, then they ask him, please could you repeat, I couldn't hear. I'm saying, too late, you missed the bus. Sorry, next time, watch the video, okay? So if you are here, I'm asking for your undivided attention for this short time. So you are agreeing that we will not speak about the past and we will not be talking about the future. And I'm also going to ask you, you don't need to use your imagination, nor to be visualizing anything or creating any kind of pictures. It's not necessary. You should be glad to be told this. You don't have to be creating or imagining anything at all. Just be empty. No? So like this, you can't fail. I'm not asking you to do anything spectacular. Just be present and not to be holding on to any ideas, any concepts, any feelings, any memories, just for a short time. So you're here, isn't it? Yes. Not you plus, just you. Okay? And now even the idea you have of who you are, even the idea you have of who you are, the idea you have of who you are is like a self-portrait. However good it is, it's still not you. You understand? So even your idea you have of who you are, your self-image, please don't engage with this for now. So right now, it should just be that you are empty. Empty. Then also, I'll just say, the idea, because sometimes inside we start to think, okay, I'm empty, now what? There's no now what. No next. I'm not inviting you into the next thing. So just as you are now, but not waiting. It's good?
Yes.
Yeah, just here. Just here. So no self-image, no past, no ideas about future, no attachment to desires, no dreams for a moment, nothing. Just here. And I had to ask you to cooperate with just this simple guidance so that when you're really here and empty of self-image and memories and desires and future and past and all of that, you're totally empty. Now just pay attention to your own self, just you. And the sort of environment, the feeling of just being here. Only this now. No imagination. No inventing. Just empty. Just being aware of this. You're just aware that you're simply here. Now, let me ask you this. That which you are experiencing now, is it personal? I'm going to ask you for your response. Is it personal?
No.
No. It's just as you are here, you're not doing anything, you're simply just present. And you can hear my voice, and I'm asking you some simple questions. Does it have any shape or size or color?
No
shape, no size, no color. Is it an object?
No.
It's not an object. Just keep being aware, just being aware. You are here. This that is here, did it come from somewhere? Can it go? Can it leave and go somewhere? No. Is there some boundary, some natural boundary beyond which it is not? Please look and see. And every one of you, I'm speaking to each and every one of you here. So, is it limited? No, not limited. Okay. May I ask you if it can be confused? Just keep being aware. Can it suffer? No. Or can it cause suffering? No. Can it be sick?
No.
Can it be for or against anybody or anything? No, just keep being attention. This is beautiful, very beautiful. You're just here. Can it be owned or controlled by any person or group? It cannot, no. Does it have any desires? Is it capable of feeling disappointment?
No.
Can it be controlled or manipulated?
No.
Is it owned by any religion or philosophic group or anything?
No,
it is not. Here's a good one. Okay, was it born? Why are you slowing down now? Come on, answer up. Was it born?
No.
Does it have any astrological sign or something?
No.
Now, what about this? Very unusual one. Can it die?
No.
At the back, you can hear me?
Yes.
It cannot die. Are you imagining this?
No.
You're not imagining this. You're sure? Okay, what about this now? Because you're not taking much time to answer me. You're just being very direct in this. Can I ask you, how far away from you is it? Like, would it be a few centimeters or a meter? Is it close or what? How much distance? Is there any distance or separation between yourself and it?
No.
Okay. So I'm just going to recap and just to feed back to you what I'm hearing from you. So you're saying that it is not personal, what it is that you are directly perceiving without help from anyone else, from your own self you're answering these questions. It is not personal, it is not an object, it has no size or color. Photographed or captured in some way?
No,
it's gonna. Okay. So it cannot be photographed, cannot be captured, it cannot be manipulated. Can it be impressed by what you do?
No.
Or disappointed?
No.
Okay, let's add that to it. And it cannot be confused. It cannot be confused. It cannot be sick. Or to suffer, or to give suffering? No. Okay. Can it be bored? No, it cannot be bored. It didn't come from anywhere, and it cannot go anywhere. And there is nowhere where it is not. Am I true? Have I got it? Okay. Did I ask, was it born?
Yes.
And did you say?
No.
No. Okay. But then I said, the difficult one, can it die?
No.
No. And you're sure you're not making this up? Okay. And then I believe I ask you, how much distance exists between you and this that you're perceiving? And you say, no distance. So, you all seem to be answering the same way. And did you rehearse this before you came in the room? Did you decide to agree with each other? No, okay. So what it seems it's reasonable to conclude from your responses to my questions is that what you are responding to and what you are referring to can only be yourself. Again, what you are responding, your answers to the questions I've asked you, are really about your own self. It is not personal, it is not an object, it has no size or shape, it cannot be photographed. Cannot be bored. Can it be lost?
No.
So until you discovered it, where has it been all this time? Right here. It cannot become confused. It has no ruling planets. It has no birthday. No death day. There's no distance from your own intuitive sense of yourself. So I am concluding it must be about you. Is it true?
Yes.
How can you perceive something which is not an object, unless you yourself are beyond objects? And if this is true, if it is true, who is this other guy then? Could it be that this is our unchanging reality, our true nature, and that somehow arising within our immensity is a life, a personal life that we are dreaming, imagining? That's why it's always changing. Something's always changing. But I ask you, where has it been before you discovered it today? Where was it? And you said, it was always here. But yet we were not conscious of its always being here-ness. But today, you are discovering this. Is it possible that when you leave this place, you're simply going to forget it? Even if you try? Can you unsee what you have seen? Again, can I just check in with you something? How are you feeling right now? Empty or full? Empty and full, okay. It's a good answer, it's a good response. Yes. Have you ever felt as complete, as light and open and happy as you do now? And it, what I'm calling it, the isness, it's a safe word for now, because it goes by other names. It's known all over the world by other names. But if I call those names, maybe it start to feel, well, oh, that belongs to this group, that belongs. So I'm using the word isness for the moment. This isness, is it your possession? No. Can it feel claustrophobic? You understand the word claustrophobic? Meaning that it's too tight. Can it feel like this to you? No. I'm going to put it that for those of you who are present with this, this is the most important discovery in your life. Because if you value what you are seeing and discovering right now, it is going to continue to unfold in beautiful ways. Of course, we, whoever we are, have memories and tendencies and habits in the dynamic life, this dynamic life of the senses and the mind, and having a job and being married, having children, and losing a job, finding a new job, having desires, having attachments, having a sense of past, having a sense of future, all of this. The sense of ourself as a being that is living in time, that will still be very present within the space of the isness itself. Is it greater than the isness? No. Also, the shape, it's like a shape that we have taken, but the shape keeps changing. And for a while, if you are strongly identified with the shape, all that comes with the shape will feel real and true and belonging to you. But does the isness have a shape?
No.
Are you comfortable with that? What it means is that the mind have a tendency to go into shapes, and it will take whatever shape, whatever concepts you're holding, it will assume the shape of that concept. But naturally it is without shape. Can you just for a moment just be here in your shapelessness for a moment? That although you can perceive shape, you don't have to become a shape. You're not forced into a shape. But if you move towards a shape, does it mean you've lost the isness? No. If we become deeply identified with a shape, it will somehow distract our attention from the naturalness of being or from the isness, and for a while we may be caught up with that shape and whatever the content of that shape is. Do you understand this or not? Yes. So, there is functioning within us a kind of a reflex or a habit to go back to what feels most familiar to you. And so our person or personhood feels very familiar. It is like an area that we're familiar with, and we know how to be and how to act with different situations, and we remember our attachments and the things we want and the things we don't want, and all of this is there too. But if you fix your attention on anything from your person, watch it from the isness. If you are the isness itself, can anything threaten you? Can anything threaten you?
No.
No. Can anything damage the isness? Is this too big a discovery for you? What do you have to do to be the isness?
Nothing.
Isn't it too easy? So are you sure you're not just imagining all of this? There are going to be times when you feel that, I can't feel the isness. I don't know, it's like yesterday it was really strong. But right now I just can't find the isness. Who is going to be speaking like that? Who is going to lose the isness? The guy who lives upstairs and in the attic. But when he speaks, it's a very familiar voice and a very familiar energy. It is so familiar, it feels closer than intimacy itself. And we are inclined to just identify that this is yourself. Will it make a difference to you now, when these times come, when you are again strongly identified with your wasness? Because it's going to be speaking in your head some things like, you're not good enough for this, you know. You're far too unintelligent. Or it can also say, you're far too intelligent. Why waste time with these things? You are above all these things. Whatever you, meaning what? Would this voice be speaking to the isness? No. Who is it speaking to? The idea you have of who you are. Our conditioned or imaginary being. The sense we have that we are merely a person. A person is also an aspect or a mode of consciousness, but it functions with a lot of distortions. a lot of limitation. And its characteristics are more, it tends to be selfish, personal, insecure, full of desires and attachments, fears, judgments. Familiar terms to you? Doubts, resistance, suspiciousness, superstitions. So if these are playing a role or functioning very close to your natural sense of being, it's very likely that you will not be experiencing the states of happiness for very long. Maybe you will experience happiness, but it might feel momentary. It will be quickly disturbed. Peace will come, but it will be quickly disturbed. Now, in the life that we experience, the dynamic life of movement and thinking and feelings and dreams and attachments and so on, there's also beauty here. There's also creativity. Because everything comes from the isness. It is the source of all existence itself. But it is so pure. It is beyond the field of interrelated opposites. Like you and me and this and that and high and low and life and death and heaven and hell and God and demons and, you know, success and failure and desires and attachments and all of these things. They cannot touch it. They cannot. It is beyond their reach, and yet it is without distance at the same time. So I want to present a metaphor that might be helpful. I've used it before. It's said that, you know, in some countries, your people may have experienced a change of currency. I was living in England for quite a long time. We experienced a change of currency many years ago from pounds, shillings and pence to pounds and new pence. Some people experience a change in currency from, say, liras to euros or something. And if you are old enough to remember how it felt when the changeover was happening, that for a while all the things that we would buy are still the same. They're just the same. But they had new prices on them. And we could not relate to the true value with the new money. Is true or not? And so very often we had to relate back to what does that mean in old money now? And we have to go back to old money. And it says, okay, so that was like, you know, okay, 3 and 6 pence. Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. We hadn't learned the value of the new currency. We were not comfortable with it. But gradually over time, we change. We began to get used to the new currency and found the level of value in it. At a certain point, we did not have to keep relating to old currency. Do you follow my example? Okay. Still, there will always be people, even now, living in old currency. 25 years later. You know, you might know one or two, and it's like they still can't get used to the new money. But most people, and especially children, they are straight in, because that's current for them. So in the same way, with this new field discovery of the sense of isness, something keeps going back to the old reference. From the person, from the past, because that feels more tangible, it seems to have some kind of environment or atmosphere that we can relate to, and we tend to go there very often, And then it feels then that you're merely a visitor or a tourist to the isness. But is that true, actually? Nevertheless, it might feel like that. And there are many people who have experienced the truth of their discovery of the sense of isness, but they still feel they have a dynamic life, which is natural. We are still, if you were a father before, after discovering the isness, you're not going to be no father. You will still be able to take care of your children, relate to them, because that's also a part of the expression of isness, through the body and through even the sense of person. But now the sense of person is not a fact, it's more light, it's more superficial, more towards being like a fiction. The more you discover the sense of isness, the more the old ways of thinking feel very complex and heavy. Whereas in the isness, things are more spontaneous and fresh, there's more openness, more trust, more lightness in you. Time will tell. How strange it takes time to discover the timeless. So I'll just ask you again just to put your attention, you know, on the isness, the beingness. What is it doing? Is it dead?
No.
So here is something. It's not dead. It's not going about. Huh? It should be boring, no? Is it boring?
No.
No. Can you be proud in the isness? No. Can the isness be arrogant? Can it be special? So, with this introduction, I would like to invite you simply to just marinate in this. Marinate means what? Just being conscious of it. Just be conscious of it. Is it different from you? No. And don't give it to your mind. Don't say, mind, tell me about the isness. Mind can only tell you about the wasness and the want-to-be-ness. It may feel, how can I reconcile, how can I, you know, balance the isness with daily life? That may seem to be a reasonable question. You know, okay, there's the isness, it feels very nice at the moment, but tomorrow is Monday, I have to go back to work. Can I be the isness at work? Oh yes, just don't say that. Okay? In the feeling of isness, all things are unfolding naturally. Naturally. You will do your work. In fact, it may even feel much more alive, because your mind is not suffering states of confusion and personhood, the sense of greed or fearfulness. They will begin to soften up. Strong emotions and feelings and memories now become like clouds floating in the infinite sky. The sky has no favorite clouds. It doesn't say, where are you going? Stay a little bit longer. I mean, I like you. No, everything is floating by. naturally in the realm of changefulness and time, things will move in accordance with their own laws. They're moving. They are also noticed to be moving. Be in the place of the noticing. The noticing can be of this body also, and of the thoughts that move inside the mind and body here. There's also an awareness of them. But there's no need to identify with them. Gradually, this will become easier and natural. There's no need to force anything. If you simply pay attention, be conscious of the isness, amazingly, the discovery of the isness has the power to bless every aspect of your expression spontaneously. If something feels in a hurry, like, you know, come on, you know, I've got to move quickly, and come on, isness, we've got to find this out, recognize that that is only a cloud passing also. Don't get deeply attached to any cloud. You may perceive them, you may have to move, your actions may have to move in the field of changefulness, but gradually you'll find your natural harmony and balance with them. So there's many things I could speak about, but it's too many for you to bear right now. To leave some space for your own discovering, for your own unique discovering. The fundamental recognition is that the isness, the sense of isness, is not different from the essential you. Don't try to work it out and say, okay, let me try and figure all this out. And just if it feels like it resonates with you, just keep paying attention to it. There's nothing to become clever about. The mind wants to be clever about it. But you stay just present with it and bathe in its magnificence. Now there are many YouTubes online regarding this, the isness and the invitation. If you feel drawn to it, please study them. This satsang today is also being recorded and broadcasted all over the world. You can always go back. I would encourage it also that you look at it and look again and try again to see what is being pointed, to feel and recognize it, and to honor your seeing. It's very simple. It's not any mental gymnastics. It's very simple.